Talking this morning concerning the question, why can't I understand the Bible? You know, I realized right away that's making an assumption that I hope isn't anywhere close to true for anybody here. And I know it's not for a lot of people. And that is, I know that many of you understand the Bible very well. You get into it and you read it and you understand what it says. And many of you understand it far better than I do, I'm sure, so I'm kind of humbled by all that. But realizing there are those who do have difficulty in understanding the Bible, from time to time, I think all of us do, regardless of our experience and so forth. So it seems a pertinent question to address, why can't I understand the Bible on those occasions when I can't? So that's probably the number one complaint leveled against the Bible. I would get into it, except it's a confusing book. And since it's so confusing, after a while it just is too difficult to get into, so many don't even spend time in it because it's difficult to understand. So anyway, it seems like a good topic to address this morning. I was thinking several years ago, I remember hearing a couple of people talking in what I at the time thought was a rather unknown language. I listened to them and I heard some English words interspersed, but I was hearing words that meant absolutely nothing to me at the time, words like debug and defrag, and DOS. And wow, what language is this? And after a while, you probably know where it's going, after a while I realized those were computer terms, and that was back when computers were kind of just on the scene as far as us average folk. And a couple guys I knew that had gotten computers and were really getting into them and talking about these commands, and I realized that's what the conversation was about. They're talking about computers. They're talking about specific commands that run certain programs, and all of a sudden it began to generally make a lot more sense. And I thought of that conversation, and I thought about the Bible kind of in the same way. Sometimes the Bible seems about as complicated as computer language and terminology. But when I understand the basics of it, it begins to open up to us in ways that it didn't before. And there are some basics that we can get as far as understanding the Bible. There are some, shall we say, tricks of the trade that begin to unlock the mysteries of the Bible. And those are the things I want us to get into today. You may be saying, well, yeah, I know those things. I've heard those things as we look at them. But perhaps others of you have not. And so hopefully it's beneficial on some level for all of us today. So let's get into talking about some keys to better understanding the Bible. And the first one, which I thought was obvious, we had a conversation a little bit ago, and this may not be exactly true. Just read it. Okay, that makes sense. Just read it. We cannot understand what we don't read. Someone said, I read it, I still don't understand it. Okay, well, that's what the other keys are for. But that's pretty basic, and that's the launching point. If you don't even get into it and just say, it's a book of mysteries, I can't understand it, what's the point? That we're kind of defeated right from the get-go. So obviously, get into the practice of reading it. And it may be hard at the beginning if you're not in the habit of doing that, but read it. As you read it, it begins to make more sense as time goes on. So we begin to understand that which we read. I guess I liken it to going to a new class at school. You're given a textbook, the subject you don't know anything about, but the answers are in the textbook, but you go through the whole semester, never open up the textbook. The class isn't going to make a whole lot of sense. The textbook is there to get into. It takes work, yeah, but get into the textbook. You begin to understand it and so forth. So again, it is with the Bible. There must be an important assumption, though, if you're going to get into reading it and studying it. And again, I hope we all operate from that. And that is, we are convinced of the value of studying it and reading it. If we are not convinced of the value, we're obviously not going to get into it. A couple of passages, one that was read just a little bit ago, I want to read again because this says it so well. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate. I don't like that word adequate. The New International Version uses the phrase thoroughly equipped. I like that better. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That tells us in a nutshell the value of the book that we esteem. All Scripture, this entire book, Genesis to Revelation, it is inspired by God. These are the breathed words of God for us. And there is profit in it on a number of levels. It is profitable, first of all, for teaching. It is tremendously valuable for me to stand before you and teach from this book. I would not even begin to think about using any other book, because this alone is the profitable book for teaching. And so it is profitable, first of all, for teaching, for reproof, or for correction. That's the part about it we may not like, because it will tell us what's wrong with our lives. It's good for doing that, not only pointing out what's wrong, but also for correction, pointing us in the direction that we need to go. So not only does it point out the error of our ways, it tells us, hey, you ought to go this way instead. It is profitable for training in righteousness. I think about the Olympics going on right now, and all the athletes who have spent so much time training for the events that they're now performing in. And I think of that in terms of the Bible training for righteousness. It is the practice of becoming good in righteousness. The Word of God will help us to excel in the area of righteous, godly living, such as pleases God. And so it's worthwhile, because every time we're in it, we are training, we are practicing, we're getting better and better in the lifestyle that God wants for us. Therefore, so that the man, or should I say woman of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It translates into the total lifestyle that God desires from us. So it is profitable on a number of levels. Also, I'm reminded in Psalm 119, that entire long chapter is all about celebrating the Word of God. But a number of verses that stand out, Psalm 119, verses 9 and 11. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. Your word I have treasured, or I have hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Again, the psalmist talks about the value of the Word of God. How is it that a young man, how is it that someone is able to keep their way pure in a way that is pleasing God? By keeping it according to your Word. Again, that goes very well along with the 2 Timothy 3 passage that we read. And so the psalmist said, I have valued your Word enough so I've hidden it in my heart. That probably means I have memorized it. I have meditated on it so much that I know it in my very being. And so I have treasured your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Again, a few verses that speak of the value of God's word. If we see its value, we spend time reading it and studying it. Secondly, here's another tip on understanding the Bible better. Try to read it from a Jewish mindset rather than an American one. That is tough to do. We are Americans. We are immersed in our culture. And we probably have never lived in Israel. We probably don't understand that much about the customs. But we must try to understand the Jewish culture, the Jewish mindset up against which the Bible's written. It is a Hebrew book. And it is written, again, for the Jews from their perspective. If we're going to really get the most out of it, we've got to understand it that way instead of the American mindset. Let me give you one example. Matthew chapter 23, verse 5. Jesus, as he's speaking rather harshly to the Jewish leaders, he says this: For they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments. Now, you may be able to understand what it means to lengthen the tassel of your garment, but what in the world does it mean to broaden a phylactery? Phylacteries are not things we talk about much in our culture. But if we know this little bit about the Jewish mindset, it helps us to understand a little bit more. A phylactery was a little leather box. And it would be worn on the forehead. It would have little compartments, and there were pieces of parchment of Scripture that were placed in there. And it was worn around. There's also one worn on the right hand. And again, a piece of Scripture, a scroll of Scripture in that little leather box. Now, you may hear that and say, well, that seems kind of goofy and all that. But the whole point was keeping God's Word close to you, keeping God's Word in your mind, in your hand, and so forth. And so that was just a little way in which they did that in Jesus' day, and I think it's still practiced by the Jewish people today. And I guess the closest thing I could think of is the WWJD bracelets popular a few years ago. What would Jesus do? You know, wearing those around. Now, Jesus is condemning them because they got those nice little leather boxes on their foreheads and hands, but obviously they're not following Scripture real well because they didn't even understand the Messiah who was standing before them. And so it was really an exercise in futility. Now, just knowing that background helps us to understand that passage in particular a bit better. And so, again, it's important to understand what we can of the Jewish mindset if we're going to understand the Bible. Because, again, it's not written in an American culture. It's written in a Jewish one. So that would help us. Another thing that will help us with understanding the Bible a bit more is read enough of it at one time. A chapter or two or a day is a great way to do it. If you want to read more than that, great, but don't just take one verse and read that and say, okay, I've read the Bible today and set it aside. You've got to get into it enough to make some sense of it. So read a reasonable amount, a chapter or two or even more than that. Also, something else that I think helps us to understand it is, what did I just read? Keep your mind on the subject. That's the toughest thing to do. You know, you sit down to read the Bible and everything imaginable comes into your head, doesn't it? Like spending time in prayer. Everything comes in and crowds in around it. That's part of the spiritual warfare we're up against. We have an enemy that does not want us to understand the book. And so he'll throw every diversion imaginable before us so that we don't. It requires a discipline, saying, you know, get behind me, Satan, that type of a thing. Saying no to the thoughts that come into your mind and just really trying to focus upon the Word and letting those distractions be removed from our minds. Also, another tip that helps us in understanding it, what's in it for me? Read the Bible selfishly, as though it were written just for you and no one else. Because in a real sense it is. It is a personal word from God to you, to me. And so read it selfishly. It doesn't apply to other people, it applies to me. And so as I read it with that mindset, I'm going to be looking for things that God in particular is saying to me about my lifestyle, things he wants me to know right now from his word. Something else that's also helpful in understanding the word, and that is prime time. Read it when your mind is alert. Kind of had to chuckle to myself as I put those thoughts down because I thought the older I get, the less prime time I have. My mind is never alert. So I don't know. Maybe I'm beyond hope at this point in my life, but those of you that are younger, it's a real good thing. Read it when your mind's at its best. Others of us that have to really be selective in finding that prime time, but come up with the best time to read. If you're not a morning person, read it late at night. If you're not a late night person, read it in the morning, whenever. But whenever you're at your optimum, let that be your time to get in to the Word. Something else that's very, very important in understanding the Bible, and that is seek out the divine tutor. Read it prayerfully and confidently. We have a spirit available to us that inspired the writing of the Word, that God used to inspire the writing of it. It is there to teach us to understand it. What an amazing thing. We've got tremendous tools, and here's a couple passages to validate that. John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus said, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you." So in that passage, Jesus told his disciples, the Spirit, the Helper, would come as a teacher to teach you everything that I've been teaching, to remind you of everything. And so we lay claim to that promise ourselves. That same Helper is available to us. And so we call to mind the things Jesus taught, everything that the Word of God teaches. And we remember those things because we have that tool to assist us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, several verses that I think are just so outstanding on the subject of what the Spirit will do along these lines. The Apostle Paul says, "The Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God." Verse 11, "The thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God." Just pausing on that thought for just a moment. No one knows the thoughts of our Creator God except the Spirit of God, that same Spirit that we have available to us. "Now we have received not the Spirit of the world," verse 12, "but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God." Wow, that's amazing. The thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God, and that is the Spirit that we have received. So that same Spirit that knows the very depths of the thoughts of God, that Spirit works with us to remind us and teach us all the things of God, those things freely given to us by God. Verse 14, "A natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised or spiritually discerned." The things of God require the Spirit of God to understand them. That's a key premise about the Bible. If we don't go into it as a spiritual person, it is a book of mystery. We've got to have the Spirit of God that we get because we've become Christians. If we have the Spirit of God, then we discern the words of God in the Bible. So for a non-believer, it is a real mystery to get into this. But the only way to understand it is as a believer with that valuable tool, the Spirit of God, to enlighten us of all these things. So some very important truths concerning understanding the Bible. Here's another one that I was taught differently as a child, but I've learned later on this makes a lot of sense. Mark up your Bible and make notes. As a little boy, I was told this is a sacred book. Treat it with reverence. Don't ever, ever write in it. I realize one of the most God-honoring things I can do with the Bible is to mark in it. Because if it is a tool, if it is His Word and He wants me to understand it, whatever it takes to understand it, I need to do that. And I don't know about you, but I've got page after page highlighted. I've got marginal notes taking me to other scriptures that parallel the ones I'm reading because I want to be able to understand this. I mark it up, and you should do the same. Many of you probably have marked your Bibles up better than I have, but it really helps. Mark it up so you can reference those things you need to reference. Another tool in understanding the Bible is get to know the whole library. And I think it's good to look at the Bible as a library. It is not a single book. It is a collection of books, and that little illustration should help out in understanding that. It is a library of books. And so get to know the whole library. Become familiar with all the books of the Bible and why they're there and how they fit together. In fact, that's one of the things we had been doing on Wednesday nights in our midweek Bible study is a Bible overview. Just a bird's eye view of every one of the books of the Bible. What's it basically about? Why is it there? What's it teaching? And all that. And I think that's valuable. Now, we're going to continue that, by the way, in September until we finish out the entire Bible. But that's valuable for us to do. Know all the books of the Bible. Understand why they are included there. Along with that, get to know the individual books. And one of the great ways to do that is to read an entire book at one setting or read the same book repeatedly. In fact, a challenge I'll issue to you. We're going to get into the book of 1 Peter in just a few weeks. There's only 5 chapters in that. That's a short letter. And so one of the great things to do is sit down and read all 5 chapters at one setting. And maybe do that several times. Make it a goal to read it once a week, the whole book in one setting. That's not that difficult to do. You'll be much more prepared for that message series because you'll be very familiar with 1 Peter. Why was it written? What does it basically say? Why do we need to get into it? So that's something that's also very valuable to do. Another tool in understanding the Bible better, and that is keep a journal. Get a notebook, write these things out. In fact, just to get real basic, 2 things that you might want to consider writing about. Number 1, what does the passage say? Secondly, what does it say to me? And so keeping it simple like that, the Bible can really come alive. Just write those thoughts down. Okay, I just read 1 Corinthians chapter 2. What did it say? What's the basic gist of that chapter? Write those thoughts out. Now, let's get real personal. What is it that God is saying to me from 1 Corinthians 2? Write that out. And as you jot those things down, they become clear in your mind. They're also a reference tool. You can go back later on and look at those things and see what God was saying to you. So it's very, very valuable to keep a journal. Another thing that's really important, and that is the vital role of a Bible study group. We talk about that a lot here at Lakeshore, and for good reason. We learn so much more from Scripture when we interact in a group. I would remind you, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, it says this, "No prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation." Boy, there's a great truth in that. Nobody has cornered the market on figuring the Bible out for themselves. That's essentially what's being said there. So the way that we grow in our understanding is interacting with others who are studying the Bible as well. And so I think in a Bible study group, everybody's a commentary on the Word. Everybody has something to contribute. That's why I like to encourage lots of participation. There may be some that don't think they know that much about the Word, but they do. If they've been in it, God has revealed something. Every single Bible student knows something of the Word and has something to contribute in a group. And so I absolutely love to be together in a group and hear what everyone says, because so often our understanding is broadened in doing that. And so it's very, very important that we share together in Bible study groups. One final thing I want to share with you this morning, and I think this is the most important of all. I should have put it at the top of the list, I suppose, but at the bottom of the list, maybe that also highlights how important it is. Understanding the Bible is dependent upon understanding Jesus' message. I talk about it a lot for this very reason. Matthew chapter 13, there is a very, very important truth there that's so vital for us to come to understand. Verse 11, Matthew chapter 13, Jesus has just given a parable, and his disciples have asked him why he teaches in parables. Verse 11, he says to them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." Pause there for just a moment. They were receptive to the word that Jesus taught. The religious leaders rejected Jesus. They were offended by his simple parables, and yet Jesus was trying to get across one key teaching that was so important for them to understand concerning the kingdom of God. They refused his teaching in parables. The disciples were like children, and they received it. And so Jesus made that statement. He said, "To you it has been revealed to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God." So you understand the essence of what I'm all about. And so based upon that, I want you to notice verse 14 in this passage. He says concerning those who rejected Jesus and his teaching, he said, "In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive.'" Wow, that's so important. Jesus said, in essence, if I can paraphrase his words, if you do not understand what I am telling you about the kingdom of God, you are destined and doomed to fulfill Isaiah's words, which mean you'll ever be reading the word and you'll never understand it. You'll be hearing about it, but you'll never really understand if you don't grasp what I mean by the kingdom of God, is what Jesus essentially is saying. So, again, I put that at the top of the list. The Bible is a book of mystery if we do not understand what Jesus meant when he taught about the kingdom of God. That's a lifetime discovery. It requires our best efforts to constantly be figuring out what did Jesus mean when he taught the kingdom of God. Again, that's why that's my main emphasis when I come before you week after week, because if you don't grasp that, you'll never grasp anything else. It is that important. And so that is the absolute number one key to understanding the Bible. Understand Jesus' message. If you don't get it, you don't get anything else. Again, those are a few tools. And I've given those to you kind of quickly this morning, I suppose. I wasn't sure we'd have time to get through all of them, so I wanted to give you those. But those are vital tools in understanding the Bible. Understanding it is very, very important. As a church, we place a high priority on personal Bible study. It's important for every single individual to be into the Word, checking it out, and knowing what it says. In fact, we place a priority on what we call the Berean mentality. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. We talk about that a lot as well. It says concerning the Bereans, those in the city of Berea in the ancient Middle East, they were more noble of character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. They were commended because they were going to get into the Word and check out anything they heard from Paul or any other preacher. And that is the rallying cry for every one of us. Make sure that you are a personal student of the Bible. Do not take anybody's word for what Scripture says. Be very suspicious of every preacher and teacher, and yeah, I include myself. Because no matter how sincere a preacher or teacher is, somewhere along the line, they will be wrong. And if you are not into the Word yourself, you will not know when they are wrong. And you're wide open for deception if you're not a first-hand Bible student. And so my challenge to you always is, do not take my word for it or anybody else's word. Check it out yourself. If it does not square chapter and verse with what you read, call me on the carpet. Let's sit down and talk about it. Because if I'm a genuine truth seeker, if any preacher or teacher is a genuine truth seeker, they will not be offended, but they will say, let's sit down in the interest of truth and see what it says. And that's where my heart is on the subject. If I have taught you something wrong, if you come up to me and say, that passage doesn't seem to say that, if I'm a truth seeker, rather than saying, no, you should take my word for it because I know I studied, I went to Bible college, I got a degree in theology, da-da-da. No, I would instead say, let's sit down and look at it. Because God has very well revealed to you something that I've missed the boat on. That's the sign of a truth seeker. And that's the attitude that must always prevail. And I pray it always prevails here at Lakeshore as it has been in the past. Again, the only safeguard against deception is what you know of the word. Not what I know about it, what you know of it. And so again, check it out yourself. The psalmist says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The sum of your word is truth. I hope we have lifted up this morning the value of God's Word, tools that help you to get into His Word and to realize it is exactly those things. It is a lamp to our feet, guiding us as we go through life, a light to our path, showing us the direction we ought to go. And the sum of His Word is truth. And truth is something that we should desire more than anything else. It may sound cliche, but let me leave you with this. Get into the Word and let it get into you.